Good morning, everyone. My name is Carla, and I'm your worship leader today. I'd like to welcome you all to Central United Methodist Church, those in-house and those online. We're happy to have you today. We have just a few announcements, and all of the announcements are inside of your bulletin. I suggest you put it in your pocket when you leave because it has lots of information about what goes on at the church during the week on the calendar of events. First, there's a handy dandy attendance calendar sign-in thing. I'm sure you've never seen this before. This is a great thing. but please sign in so we can keep track of you and check on you when we notice that you haven't been here, okay? On June 20th, which is next week, on a Thursday at 6 p.m., we're having a cultural sensitivity training seminar. It starts at 6. It's about two and a half hours long. And the Ad Council and the staff are attending, and we invite any of you that wants to come as well. When an appointment is made in the UMC where there are different cultures or or groups or genders or whatever, they have cultural sensitivity training so that adjustments and things can be made with one another and an honest talk and what have you. And we're going to have a magnificent new guy. His name is Lon Wilson. And he's coming from Indiana to do this talk for us. He's so entertaining and energetic. I just know you'll love his energy. So if you can come or if you have questions, just call us at the office and we'll explain more to you when you call. We have the egg cartons. Some people already saw that. If you have egg cartons, please empty them, nice clean ones. I said that, they didn't say that. And bring them to the office, and we're going to give them to the Shaws so that they can use them for their ministry. So, don't toss those away. On Wednesday, it's Juneteenth, and the office will be closed. So for the holiday, the daycare will be open. So the front doors will be closed. I just want to let you know that. And then I want to remind you on Sunday, June the 30th, we're having a pitch-in. It's a lovely picture in here where we're having a family lunch. We're all coming together to socialize and be together and catch up on all the trips that some of you have been making. And you could bring your pictures or whatever because we have to be a family sometimes. Some families get together every Sunday for dinner. So this is our Sunday for dinner in June, okay? All right. And we are taking collections for little baby Purvis. And the things that you bring can go in the office on the counter. We already have a nice set going, so I'm sure they'll appreciate it. All right. Please stand and join me for the call to worship. Today we gather to celebrate and honor the fathers and the father figures in our lives. We give thanks for their love, guidance, and sacrifices. As we worship together, let us remember that God's love for us is unfailing, and He is the Father to the fatherless. Let us worship our Heavenly Father and honor all fathers with our prayers and praise. Amen. Please pass the peace one to another. Please remain standing for the reading of the scripture. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. This is our time of congregational prayer. I would like to come around with the microphone and collect your prayers if you have some.
Please keep the Rogan family, Chris and Pat, in your prayers, and Josh. Sam died this last week, and there's going to be a benefit at one of the Lutheran churches on the 26th, I think. And the funeral is the 22nd at Earlham.
I do just want to thank you all for your prayers. I know some of you heard that I was in the emergency room this week. Everything's fine. I just wanted to thank you for this prayers and the support that I got, and to continue to solicit your prayers for our church and our family. So thank you very much.
Prayers for Ty Hill.
Is she at home?
She's not home.
Oh.
Forest Park.
Oh, okay. She's in Forest Park. Okay, there you go.
This is a praise. Nancy Wilson is among us today. We are so happy.
I suppose a praise for me. My birthday is tomorrow. 79.
Thanks be to God. Wonderful, wonderful. We're happy to have all the traveling people back safely with us. Thanks be to God. And prayers for Maggie Buell. She's having a hard time with her leg healing. It's really not healing like it's supposed to. And so Maggie Buell, if you could pray for her.
You can pray that she gets free.
And prayers for Shiyu, unspoken.
Let us come together in prayer. We're thankful for having a forgiving God. You know how easy it is for us to celebrate the joy and the wonders of God's love? We create wonderful art and music and representations of the joy that we feel. And our music, we feel, soars to the heavens when we praise God. Yet how often, when we have left the service, our thoughts and intentions go without fulfillment? God, you ask us to be ready to serve you at any time. But sometimes we place our commitment right there somewhere on our to-do list of life. And we do these things, but we do them when we get to them, not when you ask us. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for being hesitant, for living in our self-serving ways. And we ask you to heal us from seeking our comfort first before we go into the uncomfortable acts of justice and mercy. And it could be a small thing, even a thing that happens in the grocery store, or a thing that somebody says or does to someone nearby, and we speak up for them. All of those things mean something to God. Please open our eyes and ears more to the cries of those who need justice, who need mercy. Help us to give and receive ministries of love and reconciliation as we serve you with all of our hearts. And once we do that, then our music and our art and our worship will soar to the heavens and reflect your abundant love for us. We thank you for these things. And we pray together as the Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray for our offering. Lord, you are our fount of blessing. You pour your love upon us, and you pour your abundance of grace on our lives. Bless us now, and bless these gifts, that they may be a source of blessing and reconciliation and love to all those who they touch. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. At this time, we're going to do our children's hymn and ask the children to come up to the front for the children's moment. And then they'll go to their teachers at the door, and we'll sing them out. So come on up, children.
Are we loud enough? There we go. Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
You all right? Theo, how are you? Theo, you awake? How's that baby doing? Okay, all right. I know it's already born. What's his name?
Newman.
Newman, okay.
Mine is Ezra.
Okay. He's already got a name picked out, Ashley.
His nickname is Strawberry.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I bet Ashley could hardly wait. Okay. Do you guys know what this guy does for a living? What's his job, do you think?
To fight.
To fight? Okay. He's a what? He's a
soldier.
Soldier. Okay. And look at all the stuff he's got on. He's got on all kinds of armor, doesn't he? We are. Why does he wear armor? Why does a soldier wear armor?
So he can protect himself.
So he can protect himself. Exactly right. Okay. Well, you know what? I was looking up pictures of soldiers.
Why does he save the day?
Why does he save the day? Because we need somebody to save the day, don't we?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I found this picture of this soldier, but look at him. He's in his underwear. That's not going to keep him very safe, is it?
No.
No. So he needs a sword and a shield.
That's going to be silly.
It is. And he needs a helmet.
How does he have underwear?
Well, we all wear underwear, don't we? Yeah. I hope so. Okay. Well, he's going to need all of these things. And one of them is a belt of truth. And he needs the sword, which is the word of God. And he needs a shield of faith. And a helmet of salvation. And we're gonna do some pictures. I'm gonna give you these before you go. And it has all of his armor, and that armor protects him. And when we go out into the world, we need protection too, because the devil is out there waiting for us.
Yeah.
So if we wear the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and
the belt
of truth and the sword of the Spirit, then we will be safe, and that will be the truth. That's right. And so here's a picture of the warrior, and there's all his armor on, and all the words that we just talked about on his shield. And one of the things that I wanted you to remember as you left is this. You need to put on the armor of God, and the devil beware. Listen, put on the armor of God, and the devil beware, so you don't get caught in your
underwear.
Okay. All right. So, Let's say a prayer before we go. Father God, help us to put on your armor to keep us safe and to keep those around us safe and to go forth in justice to save your world. We bless these little boys as they go and fill their day with gladness, and also bless all the fathers and all the sons in today's congregation. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, wait a second.
I think she just summed up my sermon. Devil, devil, beware, lest you be caught in your underwear. Now we can all go home. No. But happy Father's Day to all the men out there. And honestly, I wondered what I would say since I don't have the experience of growing up with a father. Like so many millions of children, my mother filled the role of mother and father for me. But even as a child, I could tell the situation wasn't ideal. And there was a piece missing. As the things of life came rushing at us, my mother covered and protected me, but I noticed that no one covered and protected her. She was exposed to life and to the elements, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, because something was missing. She had no cover. When we began to develop our relationship with God and He became the head of our household, I began to realize what was missing. I began to understand the role of an earthly father as one who represents or takes responsibility for his household. He is a man who protects his family from harm, both physically and spiritually. And I also had to swallow that he is someone who has earned the right to be listed first on the taxes. Not that I'm bitter about that. But you see, fatherhood is a spiritual role, a spiritual calling to which some have been called and some have not. Like I mentioned on Mother's Day, do what God has called you to do. If you aren't a father, then that means that you're destined to be something else in the kingdom of God, and you are invaluable to the effort to bring about the kingdom of God. But to the fathers out there, let me say this. You are faced with an enormous responsibility because we are in a war. Not with other brothers and sisters, as politicians and faith leaders would have you believe. No. A war against powers and principalities that seek to impede God's will and His kingdom on this earth. You are all called to fight for and on behalf of your families, but don't worry, you don't have to do it alone. Slide one, please. This is the first verse that Carla read. The war is being waged in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm. The evil one wants to thwart God's plan for redemption of his children and to distort their worth and warp their minds so that we cannot accept the simple truth that God loves us. He sent his son to die for us so that we might have everlasting life in him. This is the devil's work. We can't fight poverty, depression, despair, anguish, fear with nuclear bombs and guns. No. This fight is for our souls, our very spirits, and therefore it is fought in the spiritual realm. Evil is present everywhere we look in our world. And what is our role? Our role is to fight and to overcome it. Make no mistake, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, you have been drafted. Men, as leaders of godly households, you have been drafted. And we must always be ready and vigilant to please the one for whom we fight. So if our weapons and tactics are spiritual, then our armor must be as well. Next slide. You don't have to try to read this. We'll go through it. But anybody recognize this? The armor of God. I've heard some intriguing ideas about this passage since I was younger. Paul was obviously not speaking of physical armor when he wrote the passage. Rather, he was using it rather metaphorically. But just because it's a metaphor does not make it imaginary. This armor is very real, and it is essential to our fight. You see, this armor is founded upon the knowledge of the things of God. This armor is founded upon the knowledge of the things of God. The Lord said to the prophet Hosea, "For lack of knowledge, my people perish." Well, this is the knowledge that we need. And we gird ourselves with it so as not to be distracted or have it distorted by the enemy. Next slide. Verse 14, "Stand therefore and belt your waist with truth." First, the belt of truth. This is the knowledge and the assurance that God's love and salvation has saved us from sin and death, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, "What can separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors," he says. The belt of truth testifies that the war has already been won. The belt is what holds together the entire armor of God. It is the bedrock of truth by which we live and fight. Christ and him crucified. The belt of truth. Next, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers the heart and all the other vital organs. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life," in Proverbs. Or Matthew, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The breastplate protects that which is most important, a warrior's heart. It is hidden and protected behind the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which he imparted to us. In his second letter to the church at Corinth, Paul writes, "He made him," Christ, "who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf." Why? "So that we might become the righteousness of God in him." We are protected by righteousness that is not our own. Praise be to God for that, because we can't earn it. We are in right standing with God because of what Jesus Christ did, not because of our works. And the knowledge and the understanding of this basic truth protects our hearts. Lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. Jesus said, "Peace I give to you, but I do not give as the world gives." It is the peace that comes with knowing the truth. Paul said, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What does this mean for us today? It means when I wake up with Jesus. When I go to sleep, I go to sleep with Jesus. Jesus is my joy. And this joy compels me to share him with others. Keeping my sandals laced up means constantly being aware and on the lookout for who God puts into your life, into your path, so that you can share the message of salvation with them. In other words, always be ready to be about the business of God. Next slide. The shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. In the book of Galatians, we read, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." And again in Romans, Paul assures us that we are all blessed with a measure of faith. We are given a measure of faith. That means that it does not originate with us, but that God provides and he buttresses, he upholds the faith that we need to do what he has called us to do. Flaming arrows are going to come from the evil one, but they will be quenched by the faith that we have in God to care for us. You're not good enough. Whoa, I am who God made me to be. Quenched. You can't do anything right. Uh-uh. With God, all things are possible. Quenched. No one loves you. Nope. Christ came and he died because he loves me. No one sees you. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. The shield of faith protects us with the knowledge of who we are in Christ and what our Father thinks of us. It is essential to this armor, as is the helmet of salvation. In his book, The Art of War, the famous warrior Sun Tzu wrote, "Victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win." In other words, every battle is won before it is fought. Brothers, we know that Christ has already won this war. We know the end of the book. There's no twist ending. It ends with our salvation. This is a fact, and it will not change no matter what befalls us in this life. This knowledge, you see, that we are being saved and sanctified gives perspective to the rest of the battle. When we have a sure knowledge of our victory in our salvation, we're not moved by Satan's deceptions. When we are certain that we are in Christ with our sins forgiven, we have a peace that nothing can disturb. The battle begins and it ends in the mind, and this knowledge of salvation allows us to keep our eyes fixed upon the things of God and not the things of this life. Finally, we come to the only offensive weapon in this armor. The sword of the Spirit. Since all of our armor is defensive, we need an offensive weapon to begin advancing, no? So how do we start taking ground from the enemy? Take the helmet, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible says that we are to wield the Word of God like a weapon against spiritual forces of evil. Now, I've replaced word with the word in Greek, which is rhema. See, now at first in English translations, it may seem that this word is the logos of God, right? The logos is the Bible, the written word, but it's not. It does encompass the Bible, but it's not limited to the Bible. No, 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 rhema means the revealed word, the concepts, the principles, the things, the stuff of God. These are the weapons with which we fight the things of God. What type of things? Next slide. Here they are. This is the stuff of God, the rhema of God, the revelation of God. Men, these are your weapons. Each time you confront sadness with joy, you're fighting. Each time you exercise self-control, you are fighting. Each time you're patient and faithful and gentle, you are fighting. Because the enemy hates all of these things and will do whatever he can to make you abandon them. But it is the Spirit of God who empowers you to overcome evil with good. It is in everyday life choices. It's in major life decisions. Choose goodness. Choose love. Choose peace. And stand firm against the wiles of the enemy. Next slide. Wielding these weapons well will enable you to stand and fight the good battle, but that is not enough. In his letter to Timothy, Paul writes, "Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith." That's interesting. Shipwreck. What does that look like? It looks like 17.8 million children living in homes without fathers, stepfathers, or adoptive fathers. Shipwrecked. The youth leader that was so excited about God, who accidentally became a father in high school and dropped out of church and school because he couldn't find a place to belong. Shipwrecked. The man who's successful and happy to the world, but crying at night because his life is in shambles. Shipwrecked. The man who is trying to be the best version of himself, to be a good father, but ends up falling back into the habits of his own abusive father. Shipwrecked. We all know those who have suffered shipwreck. And it can be hard to look at. It can be hard not to judge. But that's what we're called to do. If no man left behind works for the army, then how much more should it be working for the brothers and sisters in Christ? No. I challenge you to go back and make that connection. Reach out. Listen and don't judge. And simply put your arm around someone who is struggling and walk with them. Be the conduit through which the Holy Spirit can draw that person back to God. Back to strength. And back to wholeness. In a battle, soldiers protect one another so that everyone goes home to his family, or her family now. Cain asked in Genesis, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Yes. Yes, you are. In fact, I want to show you this image. Next slide. This is an ancient battle formation called a phalanx, P-H-A-L-A-N-X. It was thought to be nigh impenetrable, but it depended upon every man holding his own and doing his job. However, I want you to note the shields. I want you to think of those as the shields of faith from the spiritual battle. This formation only works because one man's shield not only protects himself, but also the man next to him. Let me say that again. This formation only works because one man's shield protects not only himself, but the man next to him. When your brother's shield of faith is failing, you cover him with yours until he gets back up to strength. Otherwise, the entire camp suffers. When one person hurts, it hurts us all. Do not turn a blind eye to someone who is struggling. especially with something that God has helped you to overcome. That may be the very reason you are in their path, for your testimony. One for all and all for Him. We fight for each other. Next slide. What if the church looked like this? What if men's prayer group and prayer breakfast in the spirit looked like this? What if we protected one another in prayer and in deed and fought for the father next to you, the man next to you, and their family? This is my challenge today, O mighty men of God. Use your weapons to beat back the enemy and advance the cause of Christ. And lest you think that you fight alone, next slide, read with me. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You are not alone. You are never alone. You are called to fight for and on behalf of your families, but don't worry. You don't have to do it alone. God goes before you in all things, my brothers. Find in Him the strength to carry on. To that end, today you will receive a gift to encourage you in this battle. Carly, can you? Vicky, can you come up and help? Yeah. Yep. Thank you, ladies. You will receive a small care package. First, a journal. Write down people to pray for, situations you don't want to forget, petitions to God, answers that He's given you. Note your advance into enemy territory. It's almost like a war journal. Document what the Lord is doing in your life and in the lives of those that you encounter. You will receive a flashlight. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the psalmist says. Let this light remind you to stay in your word, the Logos. Stay in your Bible. Stay true to your purpose and illuminate this dark world. And finally, you will receive a coin. This is generally a military gesture, but this coin doesn't commemorate any American war. Instead, it is emblazoned on both sides with the armor of God. It is a reminder of your status as a leader and a soldier in the army of God. And it is a reminder to constantly check your spiritual armor to make sure it is intact. Brothers, remember, you are called to fight for and on behalf of your families, again, together with one another, and together with God. Be strong and of good courage. And finally, ladies, we certainly have wars and battles of our own to fight. But let us take some time to pray for and encourage our men in the faith. Join me in celebrating the faithful men in our midst, whether sitting next to us or who have already preceded us into glory. Thank you, fellows, for your faithfulness. Happy Father's Day to all of you out there, and we pray that you would continue on in the fight. Be brave, don't be discouraged. Lean on your families. We will be praying for you. Thank you.